Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the first seven verses of our gospel lesson, we are taught that Mary and Joseph were in the right place at the right time in fulfillment of God's plan of salvation for sinners. St. Paul said, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And so here, despite all the difficulties that they had to endure, Mary and Joseph were in the right place at the right time. All of the tribulations, all of the difficulties are nothing and not worthy to be compared with the glory of what is to transpire, and that is the birth of the Son of the living God. But in contrast to Caesar Augustus, who with a snap of his finger can set the whole world jumping, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the only name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, he is humbly wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. So here in this manger is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Micah, where he says, O Bethlehem, thou art the smallest of all the villages and towns, yet out of thee shall come he that shall rule Israel. And so it is here that we are being told in historic reality the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Well, when a king is born, an important announcement of that kingship comes. And here we have the shepherds on the hillside keeping watch over their flocks by night. And it says that while they were about the business of their calling, it says the angel of the Lord came upon them. That is, the angel of the Lord manifested himself to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, all of which filled the shepherds with great fear. Why? Because when any human being is confronted with sheer holiness and heavenly glory, the only thing that we can realize about ourselves is our own corruption, our own sin, and our own unworthiness. And so, far from thinking that this was good news, the shepherds thought that their opportunity and time was up. Judgment was coming upon them, and they were sore afraid. But the angel says unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So here we are being shown this very pleasant surprise. Just when the shepherds think that their number is up, they receive the delightful announcement of the angel that he has not come to destroy them. He has not come to bring them before the throne of God's judgment. Rather, he has come with good tidings. That's evangelium in the Greek language. Good news. And the good news is what? It is that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So the time has come. The scriptures are fulfilled. The promises have now reached their realization in the birth of Christ. Notice, this is good news of great joy for all people. Every sinner may hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, believe it, and be forgiven of their sins and assured of everlasting life. Unto you, that means each one of us here, unto you is born in this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So here we have this wonderful reason to celebrate, wonderful reason to be glad in our hearts, because despite our unworthiness, despite our sins, despite the sluggishness of even devout Christian hearts, there is good news for us. God does not abandon us to our selfishness. He does not abandon us to our weakness. He does not abandon us to our sins to be judged, but rather he promises and delivers to us a Savior. And the essence of the gospel here is that the Savior has come, and he has come for you and for all people. Right? So that is the birth announcement, that this little baby born in Bethlehem, who was swaddled and laid in a manger, hardly, according to human reason, a place where you would expect the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to be laid, but there he lay. And what we are told is that this is the one who has come for you and for all people, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He has come. God has kept his word. You are right to believe in him, trust in him, and tremble at his word. Not a trembling of fear and anxiety, but a trembling of joy, because you are received into fellowship with God through the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now he says to the shepherds, "This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now to us who read the story, especially in the 21st century, it seems like just a repeat thing. We already know that Jesus was laying in a manger. And it's hard for us to understand what would make that a sign unto the shepherds. But you got to remember, these shepherds were not ordinary shepherds. They were the shepherds who tended the flocks that were destined to be used in the temple sacrifices in Jerusalem. And so it would be very, very interesting news to them, because as every temple shepherd knew, when a newborn lamb comes into the world, that lamb is examined, and as each part of the lamb's body is examined for flaws and blemishes, and none is found, that part of the body is wrapped in swaddling clothes and told the whole of the little newborn lamb is wrapped in swaddling clothes, thereby designating it as a perfect lamb acceptable to be used in sacrifice at the temple. And then the shepherds would take this lamb and they would place it in a manger, right? And lay that lamb in the manger so that the lamb had to lay still and adjust to being born, adjust to being in the world, and not be able to damage himself in any way. So, when these shepherds heard these words, they heard them differently than you and I have often heard them. They heard them as, my goodness, he's talking about the lamb, the Passover lambs. We know what he's talking about. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. These shepherds would have understood that the Savior, Christ the Lord, is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so they were filled with joy and with understanding of the gospel, that the Messiah came into the world not to destroy the Romans. The Messiah came into the world to destroy the works of the devil and to bring forgiveness of sins, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, the moment that the angel of the Lord announces this sign to the shepherds, a multitude of the heavenly host, that means the army of the Lord, the angelic army of the Lord, appears in glory, and they began to praise and worship God. They say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it is so appropriate in our Lutheran churches that when we gather around the word and sacrament, that we should echo the praises of heaven, and we also sing the Gloria in Excelsis. Glory be to God on high, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. All right, now the last part of our gospel lesson, after the angels go away into heaven, what do the shepherds do? Do they shrug their shoulders and say, well, we'll see what happens next year, right? Oh, that was a pretty good sermon, Pastor. See you next Christmas, right? No, they don't do that, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Whatever faith these shepherds had previous to this birth announcement, that faith is now strengthened, and that faith is clarified, and that faith is built up. And so they are stronger in faith for having heard the word of God. And so they respond by saying, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Notice that their statement is one of strong faith. Let's go see this thing which has come to pass. It happened. And let's go see this thing which happened in accordance with the word of God which has come to us. You see, Christian faith always believes, teaches, and confesses the word of God, and in accordance with the word of God, expects all good things and gifts to come to us from God in the name of Jesus. And so we see here how the announcement of the gospel has quickened and strengthened the faith of the shepherds, and they go with haste. And it says they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Wonderful. This is a picture for us. I mean, it's a historical account of what actually happened. But it's also a picture for us of how we gather together every Sunday, every Lord's Day. And just like the shepherds, Mary and Joseph, surrounded the baby lying in the manger, so it is that we gather around the Word of God and the Holy Sacraments. Because in the Word and the Sacraments, Christ is laid for us, right? The Scriptures is our manger in which Christ is lying. The Holy Sacraments are a manger in which Christ is lying. And so this beautiful picture of Christmas morning, the gathering together, is a picture for us of the Holy Christian Church gathered around the Word and Sacraments in holy worship. Then it says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They are singularly interested in reporting and telling the good news. And so they go out, not only to Mary and Joseph and whoever else was in attendance at the birth of Christ, but they go out into the town and they tell everybody what they had seen and heard, just as it had been told unto them. And this is a picture of the church in the world. We proclaim the gospel both publicly in church and privately in your lives as Christians. We are priests of God to tell everyone what Christ has done in accordance with Holy Scripture. So when we see the shepherds telling everybody what had happened, what had been reported to them, what they had seen, we are seeing our callings as Christian believers, our callings as church members, to be about the spreading of God's holy word in Christ. And then it says, and Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. This also is a picture for us of how we are to ponder and hear and keep the Word of God. That's why we come to church. Why do we call church the divine service? Because God is present among us when we gather in the name of Jesus. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And God is present serving us with the gifts of his grace, so that we may be kept, we may be sanctified, we may be enlightened and daily forgiven our sins until the day when we are raised up and enjoy the kingdom of glory forever and ever. And so it's so important that when we come to church, we be prepared to listen, to hear, and to be like Mary, to keep all these things and ponder them in our hearts. And then finally, the shepherds, after this celebration, after this divine service in Bethlehem, the shepherds, it says, return, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So, when Peter saw the transfiguration, he said, it is good for us to be here. He said, Jesus, We need to stay here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. We need to maintain this wonderful mountaintop experience. But that's not the way it is in this world. In this world, we gather around the manger of the word and sacraments. We hear, we keep, we ponder these things, and then we return to the vocations of our daily life where God has placed us as his ambassadors. And in those daily callings, we glorify and praise God for all the things which we have heard and seen as the word of God fills our hearts, just as it has been told to them. So, the proper response to hearing the gospel is not to build a for-profit retreat center, right? The proper response to the Holy Gospel is to go back to your daily calling, but to go back with a renewed hope, with a strengthened faith, and with a sure sense that even in the drudgery of your daily calling, you are serving and praising the Lord. And so today, we rejoice that God has fulfilled his word. He sent his only son. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through him might become rich. We are rich in eternal life, rich in the forgiveness of sins, rich in the gift of the Holy Ghost, and we rejoice in his bountiful generosity. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.